It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ.
Draw one by Michigan Tech, Sweeney at the point. 45 seconds left to go in the period. Carroll with a shot, through traffic, scores!
The Mel Pearson Show is brought to you by The Turvo Agency, Bucco's Party Store, The Library Restaurant, and Habanero's Fresh Mexican Kitchen, University Images and the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore, Superior Smiles, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Hancock Bottling, Gartner's Gallery, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting, and Gary Jorgensen of Diversified Financial Concepts in Houghton, and Kissel Chevrolet Calumet and Kissel Automotive in Lawns.
Passes a shot, scores! What a play by the Huskies!
Now, here's the head coach of the Huskies, Mel Pearson, and your host, Dirk Kembros.
Hey, that's me. Thank you very much, Josh. It is Mel Pearson on the Mel Pearson Show today as we get set to talk about the big series against Minnesota Duluth from over the weekend. 3,200 and some change fans on each night at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. Huskies have split on the weekend, our first split of the whole season, Coach, coming in mid-December. But great weekend of hockey. I know it was a bummer we couldn't do it on Friday night, but, man, it kind of made up for it on Saturday night in dramatic fashion.
Well, it did, and, you know, it's sort of interesting you say that, that it's our first split of the year, which is interesting because it's so hard to win back-to-back games, so... in college hockey when you're playing the same team like that twice. But anyway, we found a way to get the job done on Saturday and salvage the weekend and at least send everybody home happy, not only fans, but you know, our players. We have Christmas break now, and they get to go home at least on a good note. So we feel a lot better about our team, even though we you know, struggled a little bit in the third period on Saturday. But overall, good weekend of hockey. You know, one of the things I always look at, too, the stats, is both games are under two hours, Dirk, which is, you know, incredible. This day and age with all the media timeouts and everything else going on.
Right.
But so you keep the games under 200. That means there's a lot of action going on and not many whistles. And the pace of those games this weekend were outstanding.
It was, and there were several times when, you know, you notice it as when you're calling the game that you go sometimes 3-4 minutes without a breather. And there were several times throughout the weekend, you're right, where it just kept going without a whistle. And it was great play. I mean, we had some good hits in the game, but for the most part, it showed, I thought, the great skill from both teams.
Well, you know, you can see why they're one of the top two teams in the country as far as pairwise goes. Mm-hmm. You know, they played one of the toughest schedules. You know, they swept Minnesota this year. You know, they went in and swept St. Cloud on the road, went in, beat Minnesota State 6-2 in Minnesota State, you know, beat Nebraska Omaha, which is another top five team in the pairwise. Mm-hmm. So they've had a very difficult schedule, and you can see they're a very good team. When they turn it up, boy, they really turn it up. Those top two lines they have on their team are highly skilled and highly motivated when they get going. But overall, I thought it was a good weekend for us. You know, I thought I didn't like the start of our series on the first period Friday night, and I didn't like the ending. Other than the goal, I mean, you know, there's some things that we didn't like about our third period on Saturday. But, you know, overall, it was a good weekend of hockey. That's why you want to schedule teams like Duluth. I mean, it gives you an indication of where you need to be. It's a good measure for where your team is at. But also, like I said, it gives you an idea where you have to go and how you have to play to have success.
Well, the difference in the two games, too, that I noticed, the big one, is that, you know, you get the fans into it on Saturday night early. We didn't do that on Friday night, and they ended up having to sit on their hands most of the game and never really got that emotion out of them.
Yeah, it's difficult, and it's also difficult for your players. I mean, when you don't score, you know, you just sort of, you know, you keep pressing and pressing and pressing, and you're playing from behind. It takes a lot of energy out of you because you're always trying to push the pace and the play. And like you said, yeah, it doesn't give you that little spark. And obviously when you score a goal, when we scored the first one on Friday night, now all of a sudden, you know, game on. And I thought we played extremely well in the third period Friday night. We just couldn't get that equalizer, and then they get that third one just on a on a, you know, a bad read by a couple of our defensemen, you know, two mistakes actually in the same shift, and they get a breakaway, and they make no mistake. But I like the way we battled back in that game. I felt, you know, we were the better team in the third period. You know, like I said, we got the goal, and then we had, you know, two or three really good grade A chances after that, you know, that we just couldn't finish. And you know, consequently, they won the game. But you're not going to win many hockey games when you only score one game at home.
Yeah, and Jamie Phillips, again, continuing to give us a chance to win every night.
Yeah, he looked good. You know, he made the saves he needed to make. you know, and the goals, you can't fault him on any of the goals they scored on Friday. You know, he stood tall, and I thought, you know, once you break down the game and you go through it and look at the scoring chances, you know, we had them pretty even, other than, you know, they had a couple extra on the power play, a couple extra on the 4-on-4. So, you know, 5-on-5, we did a pretty good job. And I think that was the key. We wanted to try and play in 5-on-5. Even though they've got good depth and balance, you know, I like our depth and balance also. Plus, it just gets everybody into the game in a flow.
On Friday night, though, and, you know, I might be wrong on this, and you guys get a chance to go back and look at it on video, but it seemed like we gave the puck away so much on Friday night, or had opportunities to get it out of the zone, and we didn't do it. Was that the case, or was I just kind of misreading what was going on out there on Friday night?
Well, a little bit. I mean, part of it, that's how they play, too, you know. I mean, they play a good style, and they underhandle the puck, and they move it up pretty quick. So, you know, and you're chasing a lot, and they do put a lot of pressure on you and take your time and space away. So, yeah, part of that's at their team. And, you know, like I said, we just couldn't get in that any seam to rhythm or flow or that spark that we needed. You know, you can say, oh, we had some guys have exams that day. You can say, oh, we hadn't played in a couple of weeks in the last opponent. Maybe, you know, we played, wasn't great, and, you know, all this and that. But having said that, you got to make sure you're ready to play. And I thought we were. When you watch the tape, the first 10 minutes, it's a fairly even game, both teams
feeling.
Until
that penalty, right?
Yeah, and then that sort of, you know, changed the game. And, you know, the shots ended up, you know, in their favor, 41-26, but they had 12 on the power play,
right,
and we didn't have any because we really didn't have any sustained pressure, so or any opportunities. So you take away those shots on the power play, it's a fairly even game, and that's the way we saw it for the most part.
But did they have? And I'm not trying to beat this to death, but did
yeah,
they
you
have,
are.
I am a little bit. It seemed like they had a lot of backdoor opportunities. They didn't even get a shot on goal that we didn't seem to pick up on that Friday night, where they didn't get those on Saturday.
Yeah, on that
night.
Power play a couple times. Okay. A couple times, you know, a couple blown coverages. Like, for example, they had 74 attempted shots in the game overall. Mm-hmm. We had 63.
Yeah.
So
okay,
not a huge difference considering, you know, the huge advantage they had in the first period. So, and mainly on the power plays, right, like I said. So, yeah, they had a couple backdoor looks that, you know, they might have just, you know, not connected on. But, you know, when you watch some of the things that we did and some of the chances we had,
right,
you know, we had some golden opportunities too. You know, the way we hit a post or missed the net on a good scoring chance. Or Tyler Hanen had two great chances in the second period that can change the game a little bit. So, yeah, you know, when you take the emotion out of it, when you study the tape and break it down, it's not as bad as it felt at the time. And, you know, like I said, when you lose, you're never as bad as you think you are when you go through it, most nights. And then when you win, you're never as good as you think you are either. You go through it, and it's usually a lot closer game. And I think both games are pretty tight games. Either team could have won either game.
So you look at, let's go to the bad news first on Friday night where we don't win. 18:46 is the time of the first goal. Tananato, who I thought was just brilliant all weekend long, especially on Friday night, got his first out of two.
Well, he's having a heck of a year. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's putting the puck in the net, you know, looks strong, you know, feisty, really good around the net, and he's got a pretty good line too. Mm-hmm. But I like the way he goes to the net. You know, he's driven to get there, and he's not going to be stopped, and he's really having a solid year. You know, he's got 13 goals now after the weekend this year, and you know, we got a lot of guys don't even have 13 points, and he's got 13 goals, but he's their go-to guy.
He scores on the power play at the 18:46 mark of the first period.
At the point, over for Iafallo, back up top now, Walensky, his shot deflected high, bouncing puck right in front of Phillips, they score! And it's going to count as that bad hop for the Huskies went right back out in front. And it's a power play goal for Minnesota Duluth.
Well, not how you usually draw up the power play, but they are able to score. It came awkwardly off of that back glass, it seemed, there, Coach.
Well, it did, and that's I thought we did a pretty good job on the PK, and it was late on the PK, and he just fired a shot high and wide, and we didn't respond to it. The guys have been out there a long time on the PK, and I thought they just had a couple bad reads, and like one of our defensemen has a chance to maybe just take one of their guys or grab the puck, and he's waving a stick in the air at the puck, and one of our forwards just paused a little bit, and the rebound came right out to one of their players and put it in. So, like I said, but I think part of that was because we got trapped out there quite a long time in the zone, and they did get a fortunate bounce.
Austin Farley and Walensky get the assists on Toninato's 11th of the season at the 18:46 mark. We go into the first period, and as you had mentioned, Coach, the shots very lopsided due to the power play opportunities for UMD, 20-6 in favor of the Bulldogs.
Well, they did, and they really generated quite a few on that first power play, and you know the two power plays they had in the period. But you know those are shots; they count just as much as any other shot. So we had to do a better job, I thought, on our PK. We let them shoot too many shots and didn't block enough on their power play.
We go to, I think this was 4-on-4, the second goal, correct?
Yeah, it was, yes.
Austin Farley gets his sixth of the season. This is in the second.